Hey there, and welcome to the Confident Woman Podcast. I'm your host, Rachel Brooks. Join me as I sit down and chat with co-hosts, friends, and carefully curated guests and talk about all the things that empower you to become your best and most confident self. So let's get started. Hey there, and welcome back. So today we have with us Siobhan O'Shaughnessy. Siobhan is the co-founder and president of America Cinema, a seasoned filmmaker with a track record of overseeing more than 150 featured films. Siobhan has built her career creating content that both entertains and uplifts. As founder of American Cinema International and co-founder of ACI Inspires, her work has earned international recognition and primetime spots on major networks, including USA, Sci-Fi, and HBO Premiere. Siobhan's dedication to producing family-oriented films that champion faith, hope, and love has made her a respected voice in both entertainment and Christian communities worldwide.
So welcome, Siobhan. So I know before you were getting started, we just had this incredible conversation, and just I'm super excited for you to share a little bit more about the works that you do and how you got started in the film industry.
I started not the typical way. I did not study film. Did not study film at all. I was living in Italy, and I was thinking my life was going to be in Italy. I was married to an Italian, had my daughter in Italy, and, you know, my whole social life was all there. I was going to finish my degree in international business at the American University in Rome. And again, I had an apartment, social life, and I was lucky enough at that time when I was in the 80s, I had $8,000 a month net from a trust that I had for my family. So things were easy. Things were going great. And then all of a sudden, I thought, again, I went to Italy. My 2 feet were in Italy. This was my life. And then 3 weeks after I graduated from college, I got a telephone telegram. And I was kind of looking at this, going, wait a minute. I thought telegrams came to the door. Why are they on the phone? And the person was speaking to me in English, even though I was in Rome. So she said, are you Siobhan? And I said, yes. She says, we have a telephone telegram from your father. And I was like, what? And telegram said, no more monies. So basically, I sat on my terrace in Rome crying, thinking, oh my gosh, my life is finished. What am I going to do? And after my first hour of crying, because that's, you don't solve anything, I was just crying and feeling sorry for myself. I was sitting back and going, wait a minute. I have my apartment that's totally paid for. I have the cars. I have a degree at American University in Rome. And I just sat on my terrace and I said, as a woman, how much money can I make in Italy versus how much money could I make as a woman in the United States? And unfortunately, Italy had a higher glass ceiling that was harder to get over. There was hardly any woman business owners. There was any really woman that was in the position of power to make decisions. So I went back home. I told my Italian husband at the time, sell the apartment, sell the cars, join me in Orlando, Florida afterwards, and I'll go over there and start getting us a job. I'll go get a job and see what I can get. And again, now my whole life has totally changed. I'm now back in my mother's house, back in my old bedroom, feeling a little disillusioned because thinking I'm going backwards now. And I'm in my mother's house and I'm doing my resume. And my mother comes running up to me and she goes, Siobhan, guess what? Universal Studios is opened up in Orlando, Florida. And I'm like, okay, Mom. So we got Disney World, Circus World, SeaWorld, Busch Gardens. Every single kind of park you can think of the world is in Orlando. I worked in Disney World at 16. I don't care about parks. I am going to do something international. I'm going to do export, import, and that's what my degree is in. So let's not talk about parks. So I was going to the Chamber of Commerce. I was trying to get a job. I was trying to find something. And 3 months had gone by, and I didn't have anything yet. And my Italian husband's about to show up, and so is my daughter, and I got nothing. So all of a sudden, the Orlando Chamber of Commerce calls me up and says, there's a position opening up. Why don't I go down there to apply for the job? I grew up in Orlando. So I'm driving down to the Orlando Convention Center, and I get off on the wrong exit. And you know how the freeways are high? Mm-hmm. So as I'm coming down off the freeway, now I see the land for Universal Studios.
Oh.
And a voice, and it was God, whatever, just telling me, go in, go in. And it was closed because it hadn't opened yet. It was under construction. So I turn my car, I go into the gates, four black man's there in a full suit and it's hot at Florida, muggy like crazy. And I say, can you please tell me where the employment agency is? And he tells me 7 miles out of my way, which is before MapQuest, before cell phones, before anything. So I'm driving these 7 miles. And if you've been to Orlando, there's a lot of swampland. So I'm in this area and I'm thinking I'm totally lost. But what am I doing? And I keep driving and driving. And finally, I find this clearing and I see some trailer parks. And that was the employment agency. So I remember parking the car and fighting with myself in the parking lot, going, I don't have time to do this. I have to go to this job interview. What am I doing here? I got to go to this job interview. And literally feeling two hands in my back kind of pushing me to go into the employment agency. So I go into the employment agency and they go up to the counter and say, I'd like to apply for a job. And the guy nicely turns to me and he says, well, what would you like to apply for? And I look at him with a blank one. I don't know. I don't even know why I'm here. Because I was fighting with my son in the parking lot. So he kind of looks
me strange
and he tilts his head and goes, well, why don't you tell me about yourself? So I become the peacock. I was like, well, my name is Siobhan O'Shaughnessy and I just came back from Rome. I have an international business degree from American University in Rome. And I speak Spanish, I speak Italian, and I speak English. And his head tilts to the side and he goes, you speak Italian? I see, yes. He goes, you know, one of our independent producers is making movies and he went to a film market in Italy and the Italians kind of totally took him. Maybe you should apply there. Now, again, I didn't even know that's what they did. They used the movies for backlot. So I applied. 500 other people had applied for the job. And 2 weeks later, I was sitting at the Cannes Film Festival, and last May, it was going to be 36 years. And that's all I've been doing is this. So it was international. It's the same thing. It was everything I wanted. I sell the world. It was just a new widget. It wasn't something else that I thought of, but now it was my film. So films were my thing for international. I sold the world. I went to all these markets, and it couldn't have been better. I love it. And while I was making films, I went and started creating movies too. So that's how I got into the film industry. And I went from the company in Orlando to a company in LA and was with them for 10 years. I mean, did 150 action movies, sold the world. We used to even go to the markets and put out sold out, which was great because every country in the world we were selling to. And back in 2000, we ended up selling that and starting American Cinema International first.
Oh my goodness. I love your story. I'm sitting there just like enthralled with the story because I know that it was so divinely inspired as well. It's like first of all, did you ever make it to the other interview, the Chamber of Commerce?
They
Yeah. Did you end up making it to the Chamber of Commerce interview?
No. No, I ever won. I just knew I was going to get this job. I was just like, I don't know why this all happened, but I was like, I went home and said, Mom, thank you. I'm working at Universal Studios.
Oh my goodness. I love it because it's like, you had this intuition. You just knew that there was something greater in calling you towards something. You're like, listen, I'm going to be late, but it's a leap of faith. I'm feeling called into it. And you just took that action, right? That blind faith action that led you to where you're at today. And so I'm curious to know when you found out that the individual was also doing film in Italy, had you heard of that individual? Were they and kind
it
of
wasn't a film. It was a film market.
It was a market
where you sell the world. And no, I did not know. It was in Milan, and I didn't know the film industry. Again, it was, I knew the film industry like somebody else. I open a newspaper, I look at a film, I go get my bin tickets, and I go watch popcorn with popcorn and watch the movie. So that was my extent of film, nothing. But I can tell you this much. I knew this is where I wanted to be. So even my first time in Cannes Film Festival, like I said, I knew nothing, and I knew nothing. So it wasn't like I was pretending. I would go home or to my room in the evenings. And at that time, Variety had the pictures of all the buyers. And instead of going to parties or whatever, I sat in my room and I memorized people's faces. So let's say Rachel, all of a sudden you showed up in my booth and I was saying, oh my God, you're Rachel Brooks. My name is Siobhan. Oh, I'm so glad to meet you. So I would try to act like I knew them, so that we could start a rapport and start selling. I also would go in and get contracts. I would look at the contracts and I would want to understand it. There wasn't a position in the company that I didn't want to learn. I wanted to understand all of it. Right. So I made myself learn it. And I think the hardest part was materials. You know, if nobody studied film, I didn't know the tape and this. And at that time, it was 1 inches and 3/4 inches. And then you have M&E tracks. And I'm not that person verbally. I'm more of a visual person. Mm-hmm. So I remember even going down to the labs on my own time and just saying, please explain it to me. Show me what it looks like, because I can't understand these, why this and that. And the labs took me around. And once I saw it, it made a sense when they were talking about the music, the effects, the dialogue, but I had to see it. It had to be for me, for my eyes first, than just audio. So,
yeah. So, and you took that with an opportunity to really stretch yourself and grow into something that was, you were so very passionate about. And like you said, you're taking the opportunity now to educate yourself to, and basically put yourself in the situations, in the proximity, so that you can be in the way of those individuals that you knew could get to where you wanted to go. And so when you look at the evolution for you coming into the film industry, into film production and distribution, what were some of the challenges aside from you stretching and growing personally, but what were the challenges into that industry?
Well, I was lucky that I was doing it in 1989 and 1990, which at that time was the mom and pop shops. I mean, they were just booming, and that was worldwide. So I came in at the right time. I mean, God had a way of getting you there right at the beginning, because everybody was just learning, and you could start making product that most, you know, was mainly the studios, but now independents were coming in. And they were making, and they had an outlet, and they had shelf space that they had to fill in. So it started to grow. So I got to learn right at the beginning how video stores work, how the shelf space works, which in a way is still to this day the same thing, but it's, you're looking at, you know, YouTube channels or Tubi or Freevee. So what, how does it make your product look a little different from everybody else's product that's up there? So I was lucky enough to and work with an independent. So I got to see all of it. I got to see the marketing. I got to see the development. I got to see the production. All the stages of how a company runs instead of just one when you work for a studio.
Right. And a lot of the films that you produce and distribute, they're really geared towards a whole different genre of what is mainstream movies, right? Your typical Hollywood films. I'd love for you to kind of touch upon that and kind of how everything transitioned into where you're kind of at today.
Well, again, those are two things, again, with God's help. As I said, I was started in 1989, 1990 doing this, and God gave me the time to learn the market, to really get to know the international buyers and everything else. And we made 150 titles. So we are making one a month. And every dollar we would put in, we were automatically making $3 back. So all of a sudden in 2000, the market totally changed. And we had made 4 movies all at the same time, thinking, okay, we'd get our $3 back and we spend even more, not a problem. And then the market changed and TV series became more, the shelf space being taken away because of the reality shows. So some people go to drink. I went to a Bible study course. I met Cindy Bond. And Cindy Bond had just created a movie called The Ten Commandments. Now, before I met Cindy, I had also said to God that I had wanted to change the direction. Not that my action movies were bad. They were kind of like a James Bond. But I was like, my daughter was 9 and she's 36 now, but she was watching Disney Channel and I wasn't really paying attention to what she's watching, thinking, it's Disney. Everything should be good. I have to work. I got to do this. And when I sat with her, I saw the innuendos and the subject matter that was being said on it. And I said, if I had a voice and I've been doing this for 10 years, I would like to really change the kind of product that we do. So God gave me the chance now. I met Cindy and she had this animation called The Ten Commandments. And she had Christian Slater, the voices, along with Alfred Molina and Ben Kingsley. And she kept coming up to me saying, Siobhan, please, I've had some bad experience with its international distributors. I would really love if you would take my movie. And I remember looking at Cindy, Cindy, I knew action. I knew Crash Boom Bam. That's what I sell. I don't sell animation. And second of all, I don't sell Ten Commandments. And she kept saying, please, Siobhan, please take, go international with it. So I went to my partner. And Cindy had United States rights, so I was going to be selling everything outside the United States. So I said to him, I said, well, you know, we got the booths. We already have the buyers coming to us. What's going to hurt us? We're going to put up a poster. I call the Ten Commandments. We'll put Christian Slater's place up there, Ben Kingsley, Alfred Molina. You know, it's not going to hurt us. Let's just see if we can sell this for Cindy. You know, she's part of my Bible study. I'm going to have Brown. And we took the movie. My partner's going in a totally different direction, but okay. You know, we had, I think, 18 posters, so one poster is not going to hurt. So we go to the market, and I ended up selling the whole world, Rachel, I sold the whole world. And we're talking animation. That was not that great. It was okay. But I sold Japan for anime. I did China. I did the Middle East. I did all Eastern Bloc. I did Canada. I did India. I mean, they went theatrical. I mean, Australia. And I sold every place in the world except one country. And the part that I thought was funny was I thought it was going to be my first country. That country was Israel, Rachel. And you know what they said to me? We already know the story. So what it was, they didn't want a Christian telling them their story. But anywhere else, I had sold. And I saw this market of, you know, religious people in Singapore, Taiwan, Australia. That was huge. That I didn't even know about because I was in the Crash Boom Bam site before. So I remember coming back and saying to Cindy, I said, Cindy, I mean, this was amazing. If we're going to be doing this, we can't just show up one time a year with one title. If we're going to be in this market, because that's what I've been doing for so long, we have to show up at least with 8 to 12 titles a year so that they know that they're going to have enough product to be supplying this kind of content. So we started Mission Pictures back in 2008. And it was the year, literally, Rachel, it was 4 titles and animals, dinosaurs, everything that was kind of weird. And Cindy and I show up in our booth, and all of a sudden now we got Letters to God. And we have To Save a Life. We have Noah, which is going to be another animation of the Bible studies. We got 7 Days in Utopia. We got October Baby. And the buyers walk in. And they kind of walk out and they start looking around going. And they come back in and they go, huh? Like, they had never seen a booth that had all this kind of product. They were just like, and it was kind of fun because in a way they're kind of looking at us going, you know what? We've been wanting somebody to give us something like this, but we never knew anybody had this kind of product.
So it was an untapped marketplace that
it was an untapped market. And it was a nice blend because Cindy kind of knew the Christian market. I knew the mainstream market. And it really was the Christian market. It kind of knew their own little niche. but the mainstream had never seen this kind of market. So we were blending the mainstream along with the Christian market and was getting better, bigger numbers for the producers so they could make better quality. So it was great. We took on, like, say, I'd say out of the titles, we got about 75 faith-based titles. Mm-hmm. And majority of them were from PureFlex before PureFlex started their own distribution. But in South Africa, we had even created a mission night. So every Sunday at 8 o'clock, they were taking one of our mission titles. Mexico, Televisa, which at that time was horror. And I mean, dismantling of people, movies was just horrible. Two of the girls at Televisa ended up believing in the titles. And they also took another 52 and they started a night in Mexico. So, I mean, we were the first ones doing it that scale.
Yeah. Well, that's quite interesting because it's you saw an interest in the Ten Commandments. There was anime. That was something that hadn't been out there in the marketplace. So we start looking, how can we bring this to the other countries? And so now tying in your world distribution with faith, and now you're bringing it to the world as a whole and watching the evolution of faith-based films just over time, the quality and the representation and the industry has really boomed since coming on in the early, late 80s, early 90s, right?
Yeah, 2000. It was over 2000. Yeah. But yeah, it was, and again, it's, you know, I did find though that it, in time, as we kept growing the company, that if you did it too religious, it did very well in the United States, but the foreign market, where the majority of the money was in television, if you open a Bible and you start quoting from the Bible, the television channels can't take it. Because of the fact you can't promote one channel over another. I mean, religion over another, not a channel. Another religion over another. So what we were trying to teach people was, let's say in the Christian version, you have the minister and you have the Bible scene, but you do that same scene, same minute, same everything, so you don't have to change the music and effects, but do it with a friend. And that way it would be like a seed planter, and then they could go to the main channels, which would go to France, Spain, Italy, and Europe, and get more money for the producers. So I was just taking the main thing and just modifying to what we could get, so to make the most.
Okay, that makes sense, because it still keeps that faith inspired. It doesn't keep it as religious content.
Right. And that's what it was. Yes, that was the problem. Because if they came in, you get the people who want the religious, so video was still doing well. It was just mainly the television channels couldn't do it.
Right. And of course, you know, bringing it to different countries, it's just, that's kind of a risk in its own, because the crossovers of cultural differences, and it's, you know, obviously in the U.S., it's very well known, right? Faith and yeah. Christianity is very well known, where some of it in the other countries is not as welcomed. So it's almost like still, as you said, planting the seed to be sprouted and watered through the works and the relationships and the connections. Yes.
All that is true. At the same time, keep in mind, though, when you're talking to channels, you got younger people maybe buying, but the head people who make a decision are still that old guard. Mm-hmm. So it takes a little longer for the older guard to come up with the new, with the way the things are wanting. So that was another way to make sure we got stuff on before the old guard would come up to what we needed. So things are changing worldwide, I would say.
Yes. And you've had a hand in that, and that's incredible. And I love how, you know, God has just been working through you and giving you that opportunity where it's like, here's this potential in this unkept market, that this is now where I'm going to use you to pave the way and start spreading the word, which I just think is, I'm always fascinated by the wonders of what God can do. And it's just like, we forget that he still acts today, just as he did. And yeah, it's so cool. And so, you know, when you talk about like the quality and the content of what kind of films are being published and produced, you really focus on the faith, love, and hope aspects of it. And so I know that some of the movies you had brought to, like romance movies to Hallmark, or some of the acclaimed films to platforms such as USA, Sci-Fi, and HBO. So you're still getting them onto the mainstreams here into the US. So tell me a little bit more about like how you pick and choose those movies to bring them into the channels that you work with.
Well, I'll tell you, when, as I said, I had done 150 action titles. So I thought the channels in the United States, because we're doing our own movies and mainly was on video, but we had not really established relationships in domestic market. We had all the relationships with the foreign TVs, but not domestic. So I thought it was going to be easy because we had great relationship with the foreign markets. And we go in, I go to Hallmark first because I have that kind of product that I'm doing. And I remember sitting in their office and we're pitching them an idea and have a script and everything. And the girl at Hallmark looks at me and goes, okay, so what are you bringing to my channel that's something new? And I remember looking at it going, I'm just a producer. Why am I having to bring you something new? You're Hallmark. I'm not Hallmark. You're Hallmark. And she goes, no, Siobhan, we already have producers. You know, unless you're bringing me something new, why would I consider it? We do our own. And I remember walking out of that meeting being totally deflated, going, huh? So not only do I have to be a producer, I have to bring the marketing, I have to bring new buyers to them, I have to have all this kind of stuff for them to even let me in the door. So that's when I kind of sat back and I said to myself, well, you know, I mean, cast I have a little bit, but I don't have a name that's going to be coming running for them to go with, so maybe I should do books. And all of a sudden, I found Guidepost. And I don't know if you know Guidepost. Some of your people might know. They were usually in the doctor's office, like a Reader's Digest of a thing. They were in the dentist office, and they do a newsletter to 5 million people monthly. And they had a series of books called La Find You. So, and it's not one book. It's a series of 50, which each state in the union has a store. So it's La Find You in Miami, La Find You in New York, La Find You. So each one of the cities are in, and they're very contained. They're about women who either lost a husband, something in their family life happened. They've kind of lost themselves. And the book kind of helps them to learn faith. They have community and love. So all of us can relate to that. So I'm going back to Hallmark, and I'm feeling all confident. Yay, me. I got 5 million followers. They're going to come to your channel there. And they should say yes to me, right? They still said no. So all of a sudden, I'm going to their competitor, which at that time was UpTV. And UpTV beforehand had been the gospel music channel before they changed over to UpTV. So we went into UpTV. We told them their Guidepost. They got 5 million followers, a series of 50 books. And they were the first ones to give us our first chance. Anyway, like I said, it's hard to get in. You know, it's amazing how the gates are blocked. So we did it. We did the first one. We went to casting, shot it. We're in post-production now. So we're about to deliver within a couple of months to UpTV. And the girl calls me up, who's a new head of development, and says, you know, we just had a marketing meeting. And we've decided we want to hit the 25 to 45-year-olds. And I'm like, what do you mean? Your channel's 50 and above. Hallmark's channel's 50 and above. Why are you going to the 25 and 45? You don't even have that market yet. And they're like, well, you know, the 50s and above already have their toothpaste. They already have their detergent. It's really hard to convey them to go to somewhere else. So we want to start with the 25 to 45-year-olds because we want to get them to buy our toothpaste that we're selling and the detergent that we're selling, and it will be easier and we'll keep them all the way to their 50. I said, well, okay, wow, this is the big change. And as I was thinking, my back was covered because I had Guidepost that had a newsletter, but that newsletter goes to mainly to 50 and above. The big readers are 50 and above. So now I'm thinking to myself, oh my gosh, how do I get the 25 to 45-year-old to go to this channel, which has done nothing? And if I don't do well, they're not going to take 49, 48, 47 of these series of books that I had. So I'm on the plane, I'm about to go to a market to sell movies, and you know, I'm sitting on my chair and I kind of like praying to myself and going, what do I do? What do I do? What do I do? And a voice in my head said, well, what's the name of your movie? And I'm like, La Find You. And it was kind of like, it's Love, Siobhan. is love. And that's dating. So why don't I go to the dating sites? So back in the early 2000s, you could put skins around the windows of your computer or on the website. So when the girl would go to click on for Match.com or Christian Mingle or anything like that, they would see the thing, you know, advertising for my movie, and they would see the trailer and the date it was airing. So we ended up doing 1.5 million of just that. I mean, we did 7.4 in the whole airing, but to that market, we brought in 1.5 million, 25 to 45-year-old people.
Wow. And that's so cool because you again, another untapped market. So it's like, how can you? So you're the ingenuity of your life.
Yeah.
But what are some ways that I can get into this that would then speak to them? And, you know, having that silence and that moment of pause is just really reflective because sometimes we're so externally driven to find a solution, but it's just take a moment, recalibrate, and love, right? So love covers all, right? Love it. The answer to everything. So, and I remember back in the day when, you know, the advertisements would pop up and the banners and the ads and things like that. That's just so cool. And so now you get that market, you recognize there's a whole need and industry there. And so when you start with UpTV to Hallmark, and that's where Hallmark came back.
Hallmark came back when they saw the success, because on the three movies we did for UpTV, we ended up doing 7.4 million views. They thought it was an anomaly on the first one. They gave me a second one. They thought, oh, she can't do it again. We did it again the second time. And then the third time, we did even more. We did 7.7. So Hallmark is like banging on my door going, Siobhan, you got to give us a movie. You need an Amish movie. You need an Amish movie. So all of a sudden, I send them a book on one that I think is going to work with them. Crickets, Rachel. Crickets. They're not responding. They're not calling. I'm like, what happened? You know, and you're asking and this, and I said it to you. All of a sudden, I started watching Hallmark 24/7. I started watching it. Now, think of it, a page a minute. So every movie is a formula. An action movie is a formula. A mystery is a formula. So the romance has a formula, too, that this has to happen by page this. This has to happen by page 22. And I'm going through my script, and I'm going, I got that. I got this. I got the other. Why are they calling? Why are they calling me? And then I stopped, and I figured it out. The main advertiser on the channel was Petco.
Oh.
And I didn't have an animal in my script. So all of a sudden, I went back in the script, and I have a dog that they find a stray. And they find a stray, they bring it home, they give it food, and then they take it to the pound. That was it. And then they called me. And I remember telling the girl, I go, why didn't she just call me and tell me to add that kind of scene in it? And she goes, if you want to work for our channel, you have to figure out what we want.
Wow. And the whole time you're thinking that you have the goods and you're selling the goods, but they have kind of the secret, the key, right? So, oh my goodness. Yeah, something so simple like that. And so that was the turning point. That's what got you to be a Barbie.
Yes. Mm-hmm. But it's just like I try to tell young girls all the time. If you're going to write something, do you know how to get to those clients and bring them to the place that you're going to? And at the same time, have you studied really where you're going to? Have you studied all of it? Because, you know, just even a small change right now, if you're not going to the formula that the channel wants, you're out. And then you're not selling it anywhere because it becomes so specialized right now.
Right. And so it's because now it's like they want to keep their specific lane to, you know, because there's so many options out there, especially in mainstream media, too. So,
yes,
it's quite interesting because it's like you had to figure out the riddle because you thought you solved the puzzle, but there was just that missing piece. And would you say that was kind of like the biggest breakthrough right there was, especially with Hallmark?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. They finally gave me a chance. You know, it's just getting in. And again, I know people are going to do their first one. The first one's the hardest. It's banging on doors. It's constantly, you know, you can't get upset with them. You just have to say yes and just keep going and changing it, modifying, just making sure you know what they want and just keep looking at it. a lot of times they're not going to help you out because they're so busy making 100 titles, they don't have the time either. They turn around and call you and say, hey, Siobhan, we need this in it. They think that you should know that.
Yeah, yeah. That's interesting. And so what I'm curious to know, what are some of the upcoming Christian film trends that are happening? Because you mentioned about like all these different platforms. Is there one that's kind of, this is what's happening?
I think that the women were the ones that were really controlling the TV channels and even going to movie theaters for the longest time. I think now there's going to be a move in the Christian faith towards more, not that we're going to slant toward man all the way. I don't think so. But I think the men role in the movies are going to become more powerful. I think Westerns, I think, are going to come in because the guys are going to be saying, you know, I've gone your movies, we've done it, but I need something for me now. And I thought as long as we get some really good male roles, even Hallmark's trying to get some more men roles into their things. And it's amazing. I always have men coming up to me. I watch the Hallmark channel too. I watch your movies. I really like them. But if they were the group of men, they would never say that. No. I don't watch Hallmark.
Right. But
they're getting some better storylines in there for the men.
That's interesting. I personally have noticed a shift too, because even like, for example, Amazon Prime, there's a full, I guess, channel devoted to Christian and faith-based movies that, again, I don't control the remote. My husband does. But I think it's quite interesting because it's right there in front of you. And I'm like, that looks like a really interesting movie. So I can see the progression of films over all these years that have now come to the caliber of production and quality. And you feel like you're watching a A-list movie, which is quite interesting. And so I've been a consumer of them, and I love them. I think it's a great reminder of values and you know, for me, obviously a Christian faith as well. But it's like sometimes you don't want to see the same thing over and over and over that is in the mainstream movies, and a reminder of like faith in God and like this is what we're here for. So it always has a great moral and integral value to it.
I think even just adding a small thing, like in a series of the family coming together and just saying a prayer, just the Father's Prayer, it's small enough and it's good enough that everybody can relate to. And we all are going through struggles, all one of us every day. And just taking that time just to put that small thing in makes a great difference, I think, to even the young kids.
Yeah, I agree. Because it comes back to just, again, family. And I feel like there's a lot of division just in this world. And, you know, coming back to what is the core value. And so, again, faith or not faith, it's just about what is the family and what is the dynamic and what do you believe in? And so keeping that at the core of the heart is the focal point, I think, is a really big reminder for the families as well.
It is.
Yes. So I'm curious to know, we discussed the films, we discussed the up and coming, all the challenges that you had to really overcome, but the ways that you have taught yourself and figured things out. And I think that that's so unique and so cool. What are some of the projects that you're looking forward to next? I know that you have mentioned it before we hit record, but I'd love for you to share with our audience what's next.
Well, as I mentioned before, my Sugar Creek, Love Finder in Sugar Creek. I am so lucky that I'm going to be going back to Sugar Creek because we got another Guidepost books, and these are called Sugar Creek Amish Mysteries. So starting the first one of 30 books is the number one seller for Guidepost. And the fun part is I get to have an Englisher and I have an Amish woman who go out and solve wonderful little mysteries. I mean, it's kind of like a Murder, She Wrote. They're nothing really gory at all. And it's really having community come together, maybe kind of forgive, which is the Amish way of doing. And we have a gorgeous Amish son that she has that is this love that they're not supposed to be together. But we have that through the whole series, which is great. Then we're making a movie in Sierra Leone, which is with Mercy Ships. And Mercy Ships are those wonderful hospital ships that go into Africa, into these communities where they cannot afford to even see a doctor, and they change these children's lives. So we're using that as a backdrop for a romance movie that's going to be, we haven't got a title yet because we're still on the outline stage with Mercy Ships because they're giving their notes on it, but it's a woman from high society whose husband has kept her living a wonderful life. They've done the thing, socializing, the clubs and everything, but something's been fading and her husband ends up passing away, and going through his stuff, she finds a diary. And in his diary, he has said he had always wanted to volunteer time to the mercy ships, but he never had the time to do it due to the fact that he was trying to keep his wife in the lifestyle that she was used to, and he loved his wife so much. So she goes to the mercy ship to honor her late husband who passed away. And during there, she meets this wonderful long mother whose two sons had passed away, and it's the last son, and if the last son dies, it's going to be the family name is going to be gone, and she meets this wonderful doctor, and the whole backdrop of the mercy ships is there, and they get to solve something. So it's going to be a great movie, and we're shooting that all in Sierra Leone to Africa.
Oh, wow. So when is that one on deck? Because I know that you mentioned about Sugar Creek, which
that will be in Tibet. We're shooting the mercy ship is allowing me to come at the end of the year. So we'll be shooting it at the end of the year and probably through 2025.
Oh, how sorry. Huge.
I mean, we're talking a town. I mean, they're just amazingly huge. And what they do is just so nice, because I do try to include some kind of charity in my movies. Mm-hmm. Like we did Habitat for Humanity. We've done LeBron James Children, just to show people different ways of being able to give back and what that giving back does. So we're very excited about the one.
That sounds exciting. And just to be able to bring these books to movies and knowing there's such a great cause beyond just the film production itself, since obviously this is the works that you do. And I thought that was quite interesting when you mentioned about Sugar Creek. So for those that are listening, interesting, because I'm in Columbus, Ohio, and Sugar Creek is less than 2 hours away. And it's the Amish country, which is so cool and so quaint. And it's the movie that you're going to be making is going to be feels like in my backyard. So it's pretty cool.
You should come and see us.
I would love
to. Come visit us when you're there. Yes, when we're shooting.
I would love to. So this has just been an incredible conversation. I've learned so much, and I know that you've just really poured in so much value for our listeners as well. But I'd love to learn how people can connect with you and learn more about you and the upcoming projects and the works that you would do have going on.
They can always reach me on my YouTube channel, www.americancinema.com. Inspires, americancinemainspires.com. And we have a YouTube channel, which we have over 100 of these type of movies, which is for free. And we have them in Spanish, and we have them in English, and it's called ACI On The Go on YouTube. So you can check them out, sit with the family, and you got some Amish movies in there, you got some nice mysteries, and some feel-good movies for you to sit there with family.
Wow. Okay. Well, thank you, because all that's going in the show notes below. So that is super generous that you get to have a free platform for everybody to check out those movies. And like you said, have those feel good moments. So be sure to check that out in the show notes below. And again, thank you, Siobhan, for being our guest.
Thank you, Rachel. I had a wonderful time. Thanks so much.
Hey there. Thank you so much for joining me on today's episode of the Confident Woman Podcast. If you enjoyed today's episode as much as I did, please be sure to like, subscribe, and leave us a review. Thanks again for listening.